No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. We are also joined today with an additional crew member, and that would be Captain Clay, who's in Wyoming. Guys, welcome, and are you ready for another virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information? Ed?
I'm ready.
Keith?
I'm here.
And Clay, what do you say?
I'm getting there.
All right, okay. He'll catch up with the rest of it. He's a little behind on the flight controls today.
I'm from Wyoming. Give me a break.
Okay.
He flies a little slower.
Yeah, that works. That's fine. Well, we welcome all people. And really, you know, we're going to talk about flying today, but we got to kick off today's show talking about flying other type of vehicles other than airplanes. And I'm talking, of course, about...
Oh, no. Are we going into Greg's favorite subject?
Well, you know, look...
My drone groan.
I'm ahead of the curve, obviously, of the mainstream media. We've been talking about these drones taking over the world for the last couple years now.
Yeah.
And when they first, came on the scene, and I was, in my flight training, I'm thinking, man, this is not going to be good. You know, I already got to look out for other planes. I got to look out for birds. Now we got these drones coming up all over the place. And I'm thinking this is not going to be good for general aviation in any sense. And now, finally, the mainstream media has jumped on the bandwagon. The last week, I've seen more drone stories on CNN, Fox, and God knows what other
networks. I saw NBC.
Yeah. They're all... covering this like it's drone week. You know, I guess that's what it was. We went from shark week and a bunch of shark attacks, and now it's drone week. And I know Clay,
drone
especially,
attacks.
Yeah, can, he can agree with me on this, I believe, because he's from the dive industry as well. And we don't like shark week, really. We're not fans of that, are we, Clay?
Not really.
I think they're doing it to kind of take the attention away from Ferguson.
Okay, well, it could be that, too.
They need something else.
They're rotating these stories in, I guess. But, you know, seriously, I mean, we go from Ferguson to shark attacks to drone are taking over the world or something. It's just not good.
Well, that's what we've been saying all along. But, you know, who are we?
They're finally catching up. They're finally starting to listen. We had to just talk about it for 2 years for them to finally realize that, hey, maybe these guys have a clue.
So all credit to Greg.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So have you been approached to be an expert commentator on this?
On drones? No, I have not offered up my services.
I mean, you've got an impressive resume with Sharknado 3 under your belt that, you know, I'm surprised they haven't called.
Well,
that really upped your credibility.
I really haven't put my phone number out there for, you know. I mean, I've been trying to, operate under the radar. At AirVenture, I wore sunglasses and a hat because I didn't want to be abused by the paparazzi. And those drones were all over the place in Oshkosh.
Yeah.
But they were in a cage. They had them cooped up in a batting cage kind of contraption.
And Greg was all excited for watch a cage match.
Yes. I was, you know, it's like...
Now, see, that would be fun. Run drones in between.
Yeah, do like battle bots in the air.
Yeah.
Why not?
Now there's a good use of a drone.
Good point. They need to keep them away from the airplanes, though.
And they haven't been doing good at that.
They have not been doing that well with this at all. I mean, we're having more incidents, pop up, and obviously
just last week.
Yeah.
Drone was sighted by two airplanes going into Newark between 2,000 and 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
So they're by no means following the rules of keeping them below 500 feet AGL and staying more than 5 miles outside of an airport traffic area or control zone.
Yeah. I think this is outside the FAA's jurisdiction anyway. There's no way the FAA is going to be able to police this effectively. Mm-hmm. I don't see it happening because it's not the people that are doing it commercially.
No.
And doing it responsibly. They just issued, I guess, like 1,000 permits of commercial use of drones across the country, which is a pretty big number. But, you know, those people are familiar somewhat with how to operate these things and might have to, you know, get some kind of training in regards to airspace and that kind of thing. But, you know, little Joey, you got a new quadcopter for his birthday.
It's not little Joey.
What do you mean it's not little Joey? Who is it?
It's Big Joe.
It's Big Joe?
Oh, these are adults.
These are
that are clueless.
All right, so these are big boys with big toys kind of thing?
I mean, look at the price tag on some of these things. For one to get up to 3,000 feet, that's not your Radio Shack $69.95 drone.
Well, true, but I mean, even...
That doesn't mean it's not a little boy, though.
Well, okay.
Yeah, but I'm betting it's a supposedly responsible adult.
Well, I'll tell you what, those quadcopters...
Have you been to Jersey?
There's only a couple of them there, is what you're saying.
Well, these quadcopters you can get for like, you know, $300-$500. They'll do up to over 1,000 feet, I think. Won't they, Clay? You've had some experience with some of the people on your liveaboard dive boats out there film with these things. They can go pretty high.
Yeah, I think, you know, for you know, $1,000-$1,500, you can get one that goes up to like $4,500. So
yeah. So you don't have to be a genius to get one of these.
No, that's the problem. There is no control on who can buy it. You got mm-hmm. the money, you can get it.
Yeah.
You know, and
are you saying you want the federal government to control this?
No. What I want.
What do you want?
You know, World War II.
Yeah.
We had gunners on the airplanes, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, I want remote control guns mm-hmm. to take out drones if they come close to my airplane.
Or fishermen on a pier that can have good aim and can literally hook them out of the sky. There's a new YouTube video of a fisherman doing that in California.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It was pretty sweet. He totally nailed it.
There was a guy arrested, I think, in Texas last week. Somebody was flying a drone over his personal property.
Yeah,
and he took it out with a 12 gauge.
Yeah,
ended up getting arrested.
Got arrested.
Yeah. He got arrested for that. That's, you know, there ought to be rules that look, if it's in my airspace, I should be able to take it out.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What did he get arrested for?
I am not sure. Probably firing a firearm.
Yeah,
you know,
that could probably be. Discharging a personal property.
No, but, I think it was a firearm discharge. I remember hearing that story. Actually,
in Texas, come on.
Well,
a firearm. Yeah.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
It's probably not on the books in Texas.
There's another one.
He'd be arrested if he didn't shoot it down in Texas.
I've been watching a lot of these YouTube videos, and the mainstream media has been picking up on them, too.
I guess all you do when you're not on the radio
is it's research, man. I got to watch all the latest reality shows and the local news and all that kind of stuff. But no, another one shows an eagle taking one out. So if we could just train nature to take out the drones, maybe that would be another way to alleviate this issue.
Now, that would be fun to watch.
That would be.
It was a great video. It's on YouTube, too.
That would be.
But the reality is I don't know what the solution is. And, the big conundrum is, do we want more regulation? In this case, I got to say, I don't know if there is any solution other than the government coming in and say, hey, you can't fly these friggin' things anywhere.
They already have those rules. And they're not capable of, nor with the mass of what's going on, would they be able to have the scope to enforce them.
So your solution is everyone get out their 12-gauge and it's open season?
Or train a falcon to fight for you.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody have any more realistic ideas? I mean, I like that idea. That's probably the most entertaining suggestion we could come up with here at Just Plain Radio. But I'm wondering, Clay, what do you think? You think there's any solution to this? Or do you think it's much to do about nothing?
You know, I think I don't know that there's a solution other than really enforcing the rules that are on the books. But basically, when I think about it personally, it always involves weaponry.
Okay.
He is from Wyoming. Come on.
It was our first idea. Probably we should have stopped right there. So yeah. So it's a problem. Drone Week has arrived,
but they've not interfered with any aircraft yet.
Yet,
and that's the big concern. Think about what happened when Sully ingested the birds in the engines coming out of LaGuardia.
Yeah,
you know it, or was it JFK? I can't remember which one. But you know,
LaGuardia,
a drone going into
a drone ain't going to do it.
It's not going to take out a plane like
that. Not a drone is not enough mass.
Going to
this. It's not enough mass.
Not enough mass.
Mm, well, that's reassuring.
I guess. I know. One bird, two birds, but a flock of birds, that did it.
And you're talking about a commercial carrier. I'm thinking about me in a 172 flying around, and somebody takes his drone and pops me in the windshield.
I think honestly, when you look at it, a good-sized turkey vulture would do way more damage than most of these drones.
Hmm.
Yes.
I have you seen?
Especially if it's frozen.
Good point. I don't know. I still like the idea of just taking them out.
WKRP just flashes to mind.
Let's go back to armed flying vehicles. We can put machine guns on our airplanes. And we just see anything in our way, we just take it out.
Okay.
Once again, we've saved all the world's problems, or at least here in the U.S. And we'll continue to do so next, right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And also joining us, we have Captain Clay. So it's a full crew. We got a four-seat, let's just say the 172 is full today, and probably slightly overweight when you look at us four. I don't know. We might have thrown.
You wanted to actually have fuel to start the engine?
Yeah. No.
Oh! Yeah, maybe. It could have been a problem. But weight and balance aside, we are here to address the latest aviation news and information. Talking about drones, they've taken over the world. Drone Week, I think, has officially arrived. And I think there probably will be a week long celebratory thing on Discovery Channel next year for drones. It could happen. You think?
They do it for everything.
Well, especially when you write the reality show.
Well, it was actually Ed who came up with the idea during the commercial break. He said, this make a great MythBuster episode.
See if a drone can actually do damage to a jet engine.
Right.
I think we need to contact the guys at MythBusters and suggest it.
This is how you solve problems.
Well, it can do damage.
Well,
it's just not going to take it. It's just not going to bring the airliner down.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So I guess maybe we don't have as much to worry about.
You know, I would like to see one shredded in the jet engine.
Yeah. Well, it would make for a great TV show. Absolutely. Anyway, so that's one issue we got to deal with. The other one that popped up on the news this week was fatigued and tired air traffic controllers. Now, we've talked about pilots.
What about incompetent and inept air traffic controllers?
No, that's a totally different issue. You know, this is a thing that the FAA commissioned a study, I guess, in like 2006 after this Lexington incident where the air traffic controller guy fell asleep or something. I don't know what happened. But there was something about him being tired. So they commissioned NASA to do a study and evidently sat on the results of the study until last week. And they finally released it after pressure from the Associated Press saying that the FAA was indeed keeping this information to themselves, I guess with the purpose of not wanting to scare the public. Because, I don't know, they basically did the study and realized, like, hey, these air traffic controllers aren't getting enough sleep. You know, pilots are pulling up to, you know, airports across the country on a night flight or something. And I saw a video of this pilot, you know, calling into the air traffic control and not getting a response. And then the next plane behind him said, well, hey, come in. He's not going to answer. We're going to have to operate like a non-towered airport. I believe we have an issue down there at the tower. They didn't know, but evidently they found the guy stone cold asleep when he was rustled up from his duties there, kicked back in the lounge chair at the tower. And I don't know, have any of you guys had that kind of situation with an air traffic controller? It's always just been incompetence as far as you're concerned, right, Ed?
Well, there are a few.
There's been issues. Actually, even I helped participate in one of those incidents.
Oh, yes. And she's still working there.
Well, there you go. And, you know, hey, God bless her. But she didn't fall asleep.
She just
kind of made a little mistake, and then, you know, I was just prone to make mistakes and put two mistakes together.
360-degree turn 300 feet on final. What's worse is you did it.
I accomplished it, so I win, I think, is how it works. And, anyway.
I'd like to say that, you know, as far as the, Casper's a training tower, and they by and large do a pretty good job, and the supervisors are pretty good at taking over when the trainee is falling a little bit flat. But as far as center and approach frequencies, all over the country, those guys are by and large pretty excellent. Mm-hmm. They do a great job.
Yeah. So it's the smaller airports.
Overall. Yeah. Overall, I have to say that they do, and you know, nowadays I think any control tower is a training tower.
Yep.
Because with the shortage of controllers, they're taking people right out of school and putting them right into. I mean, I personally know one guy who came right out of school and immediately went right into Tampa. Mm. Tampa's a pretty large area.
Yeah.
And he went right into that. And they didn't used to do that. They would have to work their way up.
Yeah.
And they're doing that now. So, but. For the most part, I think those guys do a great job. And as far as, you know, the Lexington deal, the issue there was a guy was doing basically double duty. There's FAA regulations state that they will have two people in the tower. There was only one. Mm-hmm. So the FAA is not even following their own, because it only goes for you. You have to do what they say. They don't have to do what they say. You know, we've talked about that before. And here's a situation where the FAA was not following their own protocol, and they only had one controller on duty in the tower in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was looking the other way when that aircraft attempted to take off and didn't notice that they were on the incorrect runway.
Yeah. And because he was tired or just because he wasn't paying attention? Or do we know?
Both.
Okay.
He was tired.
Was he handling both ground and tower?
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he wasn't supposed to be doing that. And that's the FAA's own protocol. And that's part of what they don't want to come out, is that the FAA doesn't actually follow their own protocol.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that would explain it. But is it really that big of a problem, Keith? What do you think?
No. I don't think it is. I've not experienced it myself. And that in and of itself doesn't mean that it's not a big problem. But overall, it's really not that big of an issue. They're human. They are going to make mistakes. But, you know, in all general, if you look at the overall perspective, the air traffic controllers do a fantastic job.
Well, and when it comes to sleep, you know, we've talked about this with the pilot requirements, how that kind of screwed up the commercial pilots and their schedules because, what is it, they got to have 8 hours?
Ten hours.
10 hours total.
10 hours. 10 hours of rest with 8 hours behind the door.
Yeah.
In other words, so, you know, if they travel, if they got to spend an hour traveling to the hotel, they got to have 8 hours behind their hotel room door.
Yeah. And that sounds great, but I know for a fact there's people that can go with way less than 8 hours and function fine. No, I mean, sure, if you...
Well, that's 8 hours behind the door. You're not going to be sleeping that whole time.
Well, but okay,
still,
but...
Uninterrupted rest.
Okay, but
that means that the company cannot call them and say, you know, hey, we're going to change your trip tomorrow and this and that. That means they have to be completely uninterrupted from the company duties.
Yeah,
and that's what that 8 hours is.
Okay, and they've got a similar rule now in place for the air traffic controllers, I believe. I don't know if it's 10.
There is.
Yeah.
However, that I think it's 9 hours for the air traffic controllers. However, yeah, the air traffic controllers still can run split shifts. In other words, you know, they can work. You know, this month they can work, you know, 7 to 3, but next month they're working midnight shift.
Oh, and that's bad.
And that's bad. Whereas, as the pilots have to have, and I'm not sure if the air traffic controllers have a downtime that they're required to have in between when they change shifts like that, but the pilots do. If they change theaters, they have to have 3 days.
I've had a couple issues the last couple days, okay?
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith and Flight Training Professionals. Also rounding out the crew today, we have Captain Clay. They're going to share their anecdotes with air traffic control here in just a bit. I don't think they have any personal experiences where someone fell asleep on them, and neither have I. But we've all had our little stories as pilots up in the air and having a little conversation that didn't go quite as well as you would have liked. I mean, my personal one that Ed referenced earlier was where I was doing my training, and on the final approach, she asked me if I could do a 360 and then rejoin the final, and I was only about at 500 AGL, and that wasn't really something I was used to doing, but a woman told me what to do. I usually do it. That's what kept me married for 20-something years now. So I didn't realize at the time that I was the person who should have said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm the pilot in charge. You know, and I had to kind of get over that little issue. But you live, you learn, and hopefully you don't come across air traffic controllers that are asleep at the job. And I think it's an extremely rare situation. But I don't know. We'll get to those anecdotes in just a bit. But before we do, I want to do a little public service announcement for our friends at AOPA. And this really isn't even a public service announcement. It's a program note that you need to take into account if you'd want to do one of the coolest things you can do as a pilot, and that is participate in one of their fly-ins. Now, August 22nd, 2015, you got the Anoka County Blaine Airport flying in Minneapolis. These are really, really cool events, and unfortunately, we can't make it ourselves to the event this time, but we're gonna hit some of these others. They're doing a few of them throughout the year. You can always go to AOPA.org and get the entire schedule. But this one is going to be really, really nice because they're giving away some nice prizes for people who participate. But you do have to RSVP and let them know that you're coming to take advantage of all the freebies and that kind of stuff. So it hardly costs anything at all, and you get it back in coupons and all kinds of extra goodies. Great times, good food, and great seminars and booths on site as well. That's the Minneapolis fly-in August 22nd. Make sure you get all the information right there at AOPA.org. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also, Captain Clay is in Wyoming today, and he is with us fresh from flying his Piper Saratoga SP across the country, or I don't know, at least around Wyoming. And what you've been doing a little bit of everything, haven't you, Clay? Or what?
Yeah, well, I've been doing a little bit of flying. I took a break for a month or two. Didn't do much more than local flights. But then I had to go down to from Casper down to Albuquerque for some meetings down there. And that's a pretty nice flight because you're directly over, you know, 14,000 foot peaks over the Rockies in Colorado and Wyoming, and that was a beautiful flight.
Yeah.
Are you
flying through any of these forest fires or through the heat that we've been getting down here in Florida lately? I mean, it's been like crazy hot, and then you get these forest fires and you know, they make it all kinds of visibility issues for people out west, but you are avoiding all that, I guess. Am I right?
Yeah, it wasn't really that much of an issue. I have had that issue in previous years, and I remember times when it was essentially IFR without a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
Beautiful sunsets. But now this time flying, I just went last week back to Pontiac, Michigan to pick up my mom and her husband and bring them back to Wyoming. And it was a pretty uneventful flight. I think the last leg, there were some thunderstorms around Casper and some rain shafts coming down. And I think I bounced their dog off the ceiling a couple times. But other than that, it was pretty uneventful.
Well, that sounds
entertaining.
Was that on purpose? Yeah, exactly.
Really?
There were pictures up on Facebook of that little episode, weren't there?
Yeah, really.
All right, so flying into Albuquerque.
Taquito Taco Bell.
I got to say, my only experience with Albuquerque is the song that Weird Al did that's like 10 minutes long, and it's awesome, but I've never been to Albuquerque. Is that a place you'd recommend for people to go visit? Or,
you know, it's an interesting place. It's I fly into Double Eagle Airport, which is just to the west, maybe 10 or 15 miles, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, but really nice facility. And my sister lives down there, so we have had a chance in the past to tour around a little bit and see the old part of the old town and downtown, and it's an interesting area. It's not too far from Santa Fe and Taos and those areas as well. So.
Yeah. So you just kind of bounced around a little bit, or just flew into there and then you just drove to those other spots?
Well, this time I had to divert to Santa Fe once flying in there. This time I just flew in, had a couple meetings, spent the night, and flew out again the next morning. So yeah. So it was pretty uneventful, but
yeah. Well, during the commercial break, I asked Clay if he had had any incidents with some drowsy air traffic controllers, and you said no. But what?
Well, I was flying into actually Savannah one time years ago. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. And I was getting in just before, I believe it was 11 p.m., which is when the tower generally closes. And they had me, took me down to about 1,000 feet AGL. And then I ended up in the middle of the rush for all the jets coming in from Gulfstream and, commercial jets, that's sort of the last push into the airport. And so they spent about 20 minutes vectoring me around over the swamps and marshes and stuff over there. And they finally cleared me to come in and land. And I was on about a 5 mile final, and they, and descending through, probably, I don't know, 800, 700 feet, something like that.
Right.
And they told me, well, the runway I was landing on, they were going to shut the lights off if I could go around to another runway, climb back up. And I somewhat less than perhaps politely asked them to just hang loose for 2 minutes and I'd be on the ground, and it probably wouldn't affect the overtime.
So yeah. Disrespectfully declined?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, wait a minute. Can you do that?
You guys have been jerking me around here for 20 minutes. Just let me come in and land. I'm done.
Yeah. No, but that doesn't work with the pilot in command syndrome. I mean, you just command your plane. If air traffic control says, hey, it's 5 o'clock, I'm out of here, Do you have any control over them like that, or you're at the
well? The problem was they were about to pull the they were about to pull the plug on the runway lights.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. They wanted to get the hell out of there, and
I was having an airplane moment, you know.
Well, do you have any recourse as a pilot in command like that, Ed, or what? What would be the protocol if, like, if you got some guy who said, "Hey, man, I got a wedding to get to. I can't. I got to leave. Sorry." You're out of luck. Do you have any recourse in a situation like that, or no?
Oh, there should be. If the tower's not open 24 hours, then there's got to be pilot-controlled lighting on the runway.
Okay, so that's what he would have said, is go around and then activate the pilot-controlled lighting. That's what you'd have to do. But you couldn't tell him, hey, I expect you to be there to let
me. Oh, you can tell him anything you want.
Right, but there's no recourse in that regard.
How much luck have you had telling a government employee that he has to stay after quitting time? I used to work above an FAA office, and you could tell on your clock when 4:30 came.
Yeah,
because they were on the bottom floor, and they came up those stairs to the parking lot in the back. It was boom, 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 boom. Started at 4:30, and I guarantee you, the manager of the FISDO was the first person up the stairs.
Yeah,
okay. That's just quitting time.
The answer is no. so we need to automate that service even more. You know, just like they're, you know, doing in, like, Seattle, because of the minimum wage hike, they're bringing in, like, robots and stuff. Could we have, like, a robot talk us in? I guess that's no different than pilot-controlled lighting, isn't it?
No.
I think we should let the drones do it.
But, drones, of course.
Drones can control everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Haven't you seen Terminator?
I haven't seen the new one yet, no. But it's on my list. Actually, you know, going back to drones, because I know you guys prefer to talk about that issue more than anything here at Just Plain Radio.
There's a Dutch company
that's actually developing, drone that will carry a person. And basically, you'll use your smartphone. They've got the video, the whole thing. And you say, okay, I want to go here. And you just, you know, press it on Google
Maps. Uber drone.
It's what it is. It's like an Uber version of drone movers. And so they got the drone. It'll do it. It's about as big as it looks. I mean, I would say it's probably about 10 feet round. It's a big-ass drone. That would take out a commercial liner, Keith.
That one might, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but think about this. What? Are you really going to climb on that thing?
Well, I mean, if it'll take me where I got to go, and, you know, why not? It'd be a fun ride. That'd definitely be an e-ticket at Disneyland.
Yeah, I wonder what kind. I wonder what kind of hold harmless you'd have to sign to climb on that.
Nah,
not if it's your own.
That's right.
No, I'm just saying. You know, I'm thinking of it of the Uber service. You know, climbing into a car. Yeah, there's danger, but not like climbing on one of those.
Yeah, but this would be a little.
If you're
bit
stupid
more...
enough to get on this, you don't deserve anything if you die.
Okay, that would be a release. Might need
you gotta understand
to work on the technical jargon there,
you know,
a bit.
I don't like ultralights because I'm not enclosed. They're perfectly fine little airplanes, but
really?
I just don't like them because I'm not enclosed.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you had a problem.
So balloons are out.
Balloons are out.
Not a fan of balloons.
No. A wicker basket? Are you serious?
See, the reason why he doesn't like that is because he gets the feeling that he's out of control.
Oh, I knew we would be going there. In the back of my mind, I'm like, Keith's here. I probably shouldn't go down this path.
Oh, I think we should. Let's.
Well,
we got a couch.
Do it anyway. So, what difference does it matter?
I know that, but I knew you'd just bring it up and beat it to death.
Ed, lay down on the couch and tell us how you feel.
Tired, hungry. Are we done?
Are you an air traffic controller?
You work for the government?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
Ouch! That hurt more than the control thing.
So it has to have. You have to be enclosed in your airplane for you to feel.
I don't like walking to the edge of a building. I just absolutely don't. You know, I have no problem climbing a ladder, none whatsoever. But you put me on the edge of a building, I'm not comfortable. That's why I
so open like air type situations.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of.
Yeah.
So if it's enclosed, even if it's fully in, you know, like a glass bulb
think,
or like that new
now,
icon.
Yeah, that would be fine. But like okay. The what is that? Is it the Breezy or the Air Camp? I would fly that. I've got a frame around me. It is very open cockpit. I like that.
So you have to have the frame, but you don't want one of these
frame
just
and a little bit of an enclosure. Yeah,
and a seat
no seat.
Not a fan.
No. Not a fan.
We'll take you up to that horseshoe plexiglass thing in Grand Canyon. You can go walk around.
How about one of those flying boats? Like
that would down into
be
the
fun to watch. We just have to kind of push them out there.
Oh,
watch them
hell start. No.
Okay.
You just have to put a GoPro camera on them, just modify the frequency response so it picks up high-pitched noises a little bit better.
And, of course, the GoPro just faces back at him so we get his expression. We don't want to see where he's going. We just want to see Ed's expression the entire time. A flying boat, one of those inflatables, you wouldn't be up for that either, huh?
Flying boat?
Yeah, you know, you can take like a dinghy from a yacht and put some wings on it like an ultralight and fly those things around the water and spot marine life and stuff.
It's inflatable.
It has like big inflatable tubes that you'd bounce right off of if you fell. No, not a fan.
Okay.
Well, I think it sounds cool, so I'll go in your place. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. And, well, Ed, we just found out, has a fear of heights.
It's not a fear of heights.
It's not a fear of heights?
No.
It's a fear of what?
Talking to people about it, that they seem to say it's a fear of falling. Because I don't have a problem being on the roof.
Well, wait. That's like I'm not afraid to fly. I'm just afraid to crash.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I don't plan to do it.
We spend a lot of time in training trying to avoid that.
Yeah. Exactly, Greg.
You're my flight instructor. Now I'm getting concerned, Ed.
Well, we're not going to go there. But, you know, it's you know, I can climb up the side of a house. In college, we climbed up the outside of the fraternity house. No problem there. It's just on a building at the edge of it. I just don't like to be there, and I definitely, like when Keith said, we'll just push him out there. I would not want anybody near me.
What? Because you would land on them,
near me on the roof. that could push me.
Oh, okay.
And so it probably is definitely going back to Keith's issue of control.
All right, so you would be afraid if I was there to
assist you. I'd be very afraid if you were there.
On the roof, you would think that for just giggles that I'd want to push you off, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, you got me on that one.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah. Can't argue with you there.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, and I'm not all that afraid of heights, but I do get, you know, that little flutter in the stomach when I'm standing on the edge of something. But the only I hardly ever get that flying, but once in a very long while, if I'm flying, you know, I can be 10,000 AGL or 5,000 AGL or whatever it is, and I'm absolutely fine. But if I fly along like a really well-defined cumulus cloud and look down along the edge of the cloud and then see the ground below, that sort of gives me that feeling sometimes.
Really?
No, I just eat that type of stuff.
I do too. I look at that.
I mean, I love the view, and it doesn't always happen, but once in a while I look down and go, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, that in the airplane, you know, open cockpit never bothered me. Inverted and open cockpit never bothered me. Mm. So that's the thing, that it's not about being high. It's about being near the edge of a building or a cliff, and you know, went out hiking in the New Mexico desert, and you know, we were on plenty of inclines and peaks and right next to stuff, and that, you know, because it wasn't a straight drop, that didn't bother me nearly as much.
No, but, wait, let's go back. You said being inverted in an open cockpit didn't make you a little nervous?
None whatsoever.
See, I got to even say that would make me go...
He also said being high doesn't bother him.
Yeah, true.
Well, you know, I thought of my choice of words, and I was surprised you didn't chime in right then. You're getting a little slow, Keith.
Mm-hmm. No, just letting you finish your thought.
What about if you forget your seatbelt and you're...
Yeah. I'm saying
that would be a bad checklist.
Yeah.
We do checklists for things like that.
Now, see, maybe it's just me.
I seem to remember one time when you had your seatbelt off in a Baron.
And what happened? I want to hear that.
No.
I don't want to hear
it. Was
this.
It was a long flight, and there was no bathroom. Is that the kind of story we're hearing?
No.
He's not saying.
Movie Airplane?
But he's starting to blush or something. I don't know what's going on with it.
Were you more than a mile high?
No.
No, we were not.
But were you trying to join the Mile High Club?
What? No.
Okay.
We were doing a test flight in a Baron, and he was doing a simulated single engine on me, so I'm flying the airplane. It's just starting to get dusk out at night, and I was having difficulty seeing the instrumentation, so I asked him to turn the lights on for me because I had my hands full.
Okay, and your hands were full because...
He's flying.
Because I was flying the airplane, single engine.
All right, and?
And so, you got the aileron, you got the thrust, and, you know, the throttle.
Yeah.
And
it shows you how much he flies. He doesn't even know what the throttle is.
Uh-huh. You're sounding like me more and more every week there, Keith.
Yeah, I know. You're wearing off on me. But anyway,
all that time at Oshkosh together.
I'll bring him down.
Yeah. All of the rheostats to adjust the lights are on the left side panel by the pilot. And so you can just picture Ed leaning across me to turn those lights on.
So it's like a Twister episode in the air kind of thing. You're playing a game of Twister.
It was more like an airplane episode in the air.
Left hand red. Whoa, wrong dot. I don't know.
I just turned around to our back seat passenger
and
with a big smile on my face. He literally fell out of the seat laughing so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Ed sits up and goes, what? What's so funny?
Well, you know, these are the kind of stories that we love that Ed would prefer to be off the air.
This shows you the demented mind of Keith. Because I think he planned the whole thing.
He was
right. I did. And you fell into it, hook, line, and sinker.
With friends like that, who needs enemies?
You guys are really close, obviously. And, you know, I don't know what to say other than, you know, I support whatever choices you make.
How did we get on this subject again?
I don't know.
He took controls and steered us into this direction. It looked like a big stormy cloud to me that we probably should have avoided, but we flew straight into it. So what are you going to do? But, Clay, where are you heading to next? You got any plans to fly again or what?
No, I'm probably never going to fly again.
Never again. Okay. Can I have your plane?
Not after that story.
Actually, my next flight's probably going to... My next...
Yeah, next flight's going to have all the switches
you,
in front.
YouTube bozos. That's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think my next flight's probably going to be a test flight after some autopilot maintenance.
Uh-huh.
Because my autopilot was falling asleep on me a couple times. But
take Ed with
other
you.
Other than that, I'd probably head down to your neck of the woods next month and go to Savannah and then pick up some stuff in Florida and wander out into the Caribbean again. So.
Well, excellent. Come on down to Orlando Executive, pick up Ed, Keith, and I, and we'll play a game of Airplane Twister. How's that sound as a welcome mat?
You know, surprisingly, I don't think I'm going to do that.
No. Okay. Well, on that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.